Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to Psalm 32. Psalm 32. Now, true comfort of soul is only found in the hearing and the believing of that which God said. Now, this is what settles us down. We look at something in the Word of God, and we hear it expounded, and we're looking at it. The Spirit of God bears witness to our hearts and says, that's the truth. And our truth, and our heart says, that's the truth. That's what God said. And so, I don't want to fall prey to the foolishness of my carnal thinking or speculation of being blessed before God. I want to hear what God has to say about being blessed. And Psalm 32, these 11 verses are truly a blessing to God's people. Let's look at these verses one at a time very, very quickly. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Sin is covered. Now, doesn't it rejoice the heart of a needy sinner to hear this, to make us to realize how glad we are that we've not been left to our own thoughts without a guide? Now here's this word, your word, David said, this is a lamp to my feet. This is a lamp. This is a light to my understanding. Now, the Holy Spirit, turn with me to Romans 4, but the Holy Spirit, Romans chapter 4, moved upon the Apostle Paul to say something and to elaborate on this, on what we just read. The Spirit of God moved Paul to say something about it. Romans 4, verses 1 to 8. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? If Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now, to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is a man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Blessed is the man that Almighty God has been pleased to bless and to cover. That's what it says. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered by God. Covered from the eyes of God. Covered from the curse of the law. Covered by the robe of Christ's righteousness. Covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed is the man who sins. It's not that we're not sinners. If we say we have no sin, we make God a liar. But blessed is the man to whom the Lord covers his sin. Blessed is the man, verse 2. Is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Now, when God speaks to us, whenever the Lord speaks, my sheep hear my voice. Now listen, we just heard the voice of the Lord. This is God's word. This is the word of the Lord Jesus Christ as His Spirit moved upon men to pen these things. This is His voice. My sheep hear. They hear with some understanding. They hear with a yearning to hear. They hear with a desire to hear. They want to hear. I want to hear what He says. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Whenever we hear what He has to say, that's when we find peace and comfort. Now, I understand completely. Satan will bring accusation before us. He accuses. He's the accuser of the brethren. And his accusations are based on fact. We know this. We know that sin's ever present with us. We know that sin is within us. We know the presence, not the debt of it, not the guilt of it, not the penalty of it, not the curse of it. But the presence of it is there. Satan will bring accusation, and Paul will say, he'll admit it. He said, I see in me, that is in my flesh. I see there dwelleth no good thing. Oh, but that accusation, though it's an accusation that's truthful in the sense of being present with us. And we struggle. Our soul is often found, our heart's often found to be fearful, embarrassed. You ever been embarrassed by what you see in yourself? Distressed? I've said this so many times, I don't know about you, but I'm telling you, the greatest struggle I have is to pray. If I could just keep my mind just on track. Why and how can I be one of His? Can I be a child of God? But what this scripture said is, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord won't charge him with it. It didn't say, blessed is the man in whom there is no iniquity. Blessed is the man in whom the Lord won't charge him with it. Won't lay it to his account. Now, that's a blessed man. Knowing that I'm guilty in myself. That my guilt, my debt before the law was charged to the Lord Jesus Christ. He took the debt of it. And He went to the cross. Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 verse 6, this is what happened at Calvary. Isaiah 53, 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. And we, whenever I say, you know this, you know that the we that's spoken of as having been able to, by the grace of God, experience God's blessing are the sheep of God. That's John 17, that's who he prays for. He said, I don't pray for the world. That's John 17. I don't pray for the world. I pray for those that you've given me out of the world. He doesn't pray for those of the world. He doesn't lay down his life. I lay down my life for the sheep. He doesn't guide. The shepherd of the sheep guides the sheep. So when he's talking about we right here, he's talking about God's people, God's church, His elect. All we like sheep gone astray, we've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Don't let somebody tell you that Christ died for everybody's sins and he went to the Calvary to pay for everybody's sin. And that's up to you. Now that reeks of nothing but disobedience to him, dishonor to him. Slur upon him. What that's saying is, he failed. He was a failure. Because he tried. He did his best. Shed his blood. But some of that blood was shed for people that's in hell right now. Now that's blasphemy. Don't say that. Don't say that. You're saying that salvation is of man. And God's a failure. He did a pretty good job, they say. Saved some of them. That's not, he laid down his life for the sheep and finished the work. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not lay charge Blessed is the man in whose spirit there is no guile. What does that mean? No craftiness, no deceit, no treachery, no lying, no dishonesty. There's a new man in every believer, a blessed man, a blessed man, a pardoned sinner, and he's truthful. There's no guile in him. He's truthful. He's truthful. He's truthful about himself. He's truthful about his sin. He's truthful about his weakness to put it away. He's truthful about God, about God's sovereignty, about God's right to show mercy and compassion to whomsoever he will. And he's honest about his need to confess his sin before God, to continually confess his sin before God. He's truthful. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit no guile. Verses 3 to 5. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. Now without a doubt, we see the redeemed, regenerated sinner confessing. Now our sin is bitter to behold. It's hard. It's a hard thing, but there's no smothering it, there's no hiding it from the Lord. The Lord knows. And by nature, I know what we would try to do. Let's just don't talk about it, and it'll be, give me till tomorrow, the next day, and I'll feel better about it. Those thoughts that I have, those attitudes that I have, just leave me alone. But to remain silent is just not something that a believer can do before God. That's what he said. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. There's no remedy. There's no comfort until we bear our heart in confession before the Lord, before his throne of grace. We may try to fashion some excuses and we may try to divert our thoughts away, but I'm telling you, we don't find peace until we just get honest. You're trying to hide something. Try to hide something before somebody you love, your spouse or something, and you feel like dirt. Like I'm just being unfaithful about something. If it's needful to be said, and you just finally, I gotta talk to you. I gotta get this off my chest. That's a believer. There's no being quiet. You try to remain silent, and you just can't be quiet about it. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Thank you. As you said, if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us. I'm so sorry. I'm guilty. We got to bear our heart before him. His hand of convicting grace stays heavy upon us. And the moisture, that's what he said. Verse 4. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me, and my moisture was turned into the drought of summer. The sap or the vigor of our soul. Until we're brought to lay bare our heart before him, it's like it turned into a drought. There's no moisture, peace and comfort. It's like a famine until I talk to him and acknowledge my sin before him. I've got to repent or die. And we hasten to the mercy seat of Christ and we just get honest with him. He knows. He knows. He ain't hiding nothing. He knows. I wonder how many times I say, Lord, you know. You know what I'm thinking. You know. Lord, I'm not hiding anything from you. when we realize that our great high priest, the one who ever liveth to intercede for us, who knows the depth of our need, of our sinfulness and our incapability of knowing it, and we contemplate that he pleads for us concerning his own merit and worthiness. I just want to say, Lord, I'm so sorry. Would you approach the Father for me? Would you say something from him? Would you say something on my behalf and tell him I'm sorry? Tell him I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Here, verse 6. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. David, like all God's people, he knew something about what the Lord had done for him and what he does for all of his people. Shows grace to him, and he confessed his transgressions unto the Lord, and he confessed that transgression that he had committed, that transgression that would be like floods of great waters, that's worthy of judgment. He knew, Lord, you bore my debt. And Lord, I know that all this great flood of that I've committed against you will be imputed to me. That's what he's saying. Lord, I know that what you've said is so, that you've borne it. And I know I see what I am. David was quite aware of what he had done. You are too, and I am too. But he said, Lord, by your grace, you that won't impute iniquity, who covers my transgressions, Lord, you. Lord, thank you that you don't charge it to my account. Now, knowing that, listen to verse 6. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely the floods of great waters, they shall not come nigh unto him. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you don't impute what I deserve. Look at verse 7. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. You know, truly from everlasting, Christ has ever been the hiding place of his people. He's always been their hiding place. He was our hiding place according to God's counsel of peace and salvation, covenant grace, before we were ever born. Before anybody was ever born, he was the hiding place of his people. Christ has ever been the security. Everybody chosen in Christ has been securely hidden in him. But listen to this. Thou art my hiding place, shall preserve me from trouble, compass me about with songs of deliverance. If we were chosen in the Lord Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world, I bring this up again. Remember what Brother Scott said, where God puts a man, he keeps a man? When did God put his people in Christ? Before the foundation of the world. Did he ever take them out of him? No. The gifts of God are without repentance. I mean, he don't renege on them. He don't. Where God puts him, keeps him. Before I knew him, before you knew him, you that know him, was he your hiding place then? Yeah. He's always been our hiding place. For we were aware, securely hidden and kept by the power of God, preserved when we knew him not. Now you talk about mercy. Mercy. Jude, turn to the book of Jude, just one chapter, Jude 1:1.
Jude 1:1. Just before the book of Revelation.
Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God, the Father, and preserved in Christ Jesus, and called. Sanctified, set apart to be God's, set apart as God's, sanctified, set apart, that they should be holy, without blame before Him in love, sanctified, and preserved in Christ Jesus, in Jesus Christ, preserved in Jesus Christ, and then called. They were set apart, sanctified in Christ, preserved in Christ, and then God called them, told them. Set apart by God, preserved in Christ Jesus, called. After He called, made aware that we've always been found in Him. That just blesses my heart. Are you telling me that if I'm in Him now, that I've always been in Him? Yeah. That I was always preserved in Him? Yeah. That God loved me before the foundation of the world? Yeah. And Christ has always stood as my surety? Yeah. And God's surely going to save me? Yes. And here's what I'm going to know. Is He going to keep me? Yeah. Yep, by the power of God, through faith, ready to be revealed in the last time. Oh, how thankful that we know that we've been preserved from trouble. Preserved from sin's dominion. Preserved from being deceived by Satan, overcome by the corruption of our old nature, from the accusation of the law and the justice of Almighty God. Thou shalt compass me about with the songs of deliverance. How wonderful to know that the Lord encircles His people with the songs of their heart, of thanksgiving. And there's no breach in that circle either. Encircles us. Oh, we're going to experience the troubles and trials of this life, and we're going to see the heartache that we have to deal with. But, yep. Verses 8 to 11, I will instruct thee, teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Boy, you just have to read this. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouths must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. God's people are taught, circled, directed as they go. They're not policed by the law. They're not ruled by threats, but they're lovingly led by the Spirit of God. Christ, who watches over them, their steps are ordered. He instructs and educates while they sit under the gospel. Look what He's done for us today. What a blessing to be able to come here and just sit down. And just about an hour and a half. Sit here and hear what God has to say, guiding us with His eye, tenderly watching over His sheep of His pasture. He speaks to them. You heard Him speak. You heard Him. You heard what He said. And those that will not hear, the wicked, they're going to experience the sorrows of being cast out. Why do they not come? Because they don't want to. They don't want to. But those by God's good pleasure that know Him, rest Him, trust Him, they're going to rest. Be glad in the Lord. Rejoice, ye righteous. Shout for joy, all ye that are upright
in heart. Be glad in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord. Aren't you glad that you're not going to be glad in yourself? Glad in your ability. Aren't you glad that you don't rejoice in the fleeting dainties of this life that are all fading? They're just going away so quickly. I got to looking at the house the other day and I thought, what am I going to do with all this junk? I got to get rid of this junk before my kids have to do it. Rejoice, be glad in the Lord. I pray God bless this to our hearts for His sake. All right.